Hi, folks. Welcome to Frontier Town. A lot of people have been interested in a little of the background history of Frontier Town and how it came about. Well, to be brief and get to the point, I've always been interested in the pioneers. My grandfather being one of the first in Montana. He came here in 1863, and my father was born here the year of the Custer Massacre in 1876. And Indian friends call me a white-eyed native. I was born on a cattle ranch just 30 miles from here, and I guess I know more about a cow and a horse than I know about any other business. But my father was always kind of against this sort of thing. He thought the only thing that ever made an honest dollar was a cow. So as a young fellow, I kept thinking I'd sure love to have a little hunting lodge for my friends and whatnot to go hunting and fishing, as I've done since I was a little kid. That idea developed into trying to go into the dude ranch business, which I did for a short time, but then I realized that I was just too far from a good highway and too far from any population that could support it. So I found this piece of property here right in the middle of the Helena National Forest that was ideal for the conditions that I wanted to do and reproduce, with the idea of building a frontier town and honoring the old pioneers of the past. Well, I lived in a tent here the first winter, and believe me, it was cold. But I accomplished the first section of Frontier Town, and at least got the support of the businessmen at Helena to get a few dollars to keep going, and Frontier Town has grown since then. I started in 1946 and starved to death for about 4 or 5 years. I used to sell a beer and run downtown and buy a loaf of bread. I had two old-timers helping me out. They were right up close to 80 years old, but they did no log work, and we worked good together. But the winter was tough, one of the worst winters we ever had. And the first little building we built, all out of green logs and hell, 20 and 30 below zero. The frost came out on the inside of the logs up about 4 feet. We had a big old wood stove, but the logs were sweating and the frost was out. We didn't have any floor. We just put some sand over the frozen mud. And our beds sunk right down into the floor, and you could wipe a handful of condensation off the bottom of the mattresses. Even the dog got pneumonia and died. But the other, I knew the old timers were filled up on this, and it was tough. So I began telling them, we better cut this out till spring. And they said, oh, kid, this isn't bad. Winter is so-and-so. Anyway, they started bragging about the tough winters they put in, and they toughed it out the rest of the winter, and we made it from there. One of the main reasons that I've always had this in the back of my mind and wondered how to develop the memorabilia and artifacts that I've collected since I was a little kid. My grandfather practically owned an old ghost mining town, and I used to go over there as a little kid and pick up these things and started out, of course, like a little boy would, with knives and guns, and the old timers were throwing old guns away and buying the new lever actions and whatnot now, and they knew I was collecting them, so they began to give them to me, and that's the way that started. Then I began to collect everything, and that's where all the memorabilia comes from. And since then, old friends of my father's and the family have been contributing from year to year little things that have all added up to quite a memorial, a real good collection. I've always been intrigued with the ingenuity of the old-timers, or they didn't have anything to work with except the rocks and logs that they had right at hand. And you'd be surprised at the door latches and the hinges that were used, from leather hinges to wooden pins and tabletops put together with wooden pegs and etc. And it always intrigued me, and so I've always been interested in the unique type of a log or a twisted tree or whatnot. As you'll see around here, the furniture's been made out of cabinets and mantels, and this sort of thing is using the out of the ordinary, yet just nature's own material. That's the way the furniture and picture frames and all of this sort of thing came about. The material logs and rocks, everything with furniture, all came within a range of 25 miles or so. A lot of people don't realize we have these big logs, but they're sure they're scarce and far between, but the chapel, the bar logs and all, they're all put together with wooden pins. We have a reputation of having the most historically authentic pioneer log and rock construction in the United States today, and we're real proud of that. Speaking of the chapel, we have many services here. It's a non-denominational church, and anybody can use it as long as I don't have to go. We have a lot of weddings, as many as three a day. But I kid my Sky Pilot friends that like the church and use the church and have services, that I was never very good at putting calluses on my knees with my prayers, but I put them on my hands building the church, and everybody seems to enjoy it. So that's my prayer. As far as artwork or carving or whittling, whatever you want to call it around here, I've never really had any training. All I know about it just kind of comes out of the end of my fingers. And there isn't anything that's great. It's quite a combination. In fact, I got one of the best compliments I ever had in my life the other day. I'm real proud of it. The Helena Arts Council that puts on the Western Rendezvous of Art for the Northwest, bringing in about 30 famous artists and whatnot, and have about 3 days. Well, anyway, they picked me as the artist of the year, which I'm kind of dumbfounded at. I don't claim to be an artist, and I told them that I may be a half-ass whittler or something, and they said, well, yeah, but you're half-assed at so many other things, so we picked you. Well, anyway, I'm real proud of that, and everybody enjoys everything here. We try to keep and preserve. We don't trade or exchange any of the relics. Many of these have been given to me since I was a little kid. And I hope it'll always belong to Montana. Now, someday I hope it's set up as a foundation that sort of belong to everybody. Well, welcome back anytime you can, and make yourselves at home.